So I've got two titles. I've got Joseph and His Dreams, or my other title is The Spoiled Brat Turns Into a Prince. It's a long story. It's a big story. But it's a powerful story of what God can do in people's lives. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37, Joseph was living with his father Jacob and his brothers and his mothers in the land of Canaan. And you know, Joseph was the son of Rachel, the only son of Rachel. And Joseph was his father's idol. He loved him more than he loved anybody else, and he spoiled him. And he became a bit of a spoiled brat. His father gave him this wonderful coat of many colours. I think we've got one on the overhead here. He gave him a coat of many colours. You know, when Joseph wore that, you could see him coming. He would just parade around in that, and it's like, you know, just look at this, what my dad has bought me, you know. It meant something to him. Meant something to his father. This coat of many colours, it was rich, it was deep quality. He'd never given any of his other 11 sons anything like it. But Joseph, just look what my dad has got me. Yeah. Just look at me. Do I look the part, you know? Sort of. I know it's a little bit like these lovely scarves that some of my dear friends give me from Grace. And we think, oh, these are so nice. I have a blue one that somebody gave me, and I just love the blue one. I just think, oh, I like that scarf. It's just fabulous, you know. But Grace thought I ought to be sort of colour matched today, so. But God is so good to us as well. He wants you to have the best. In one sense, He wants to spoil you. He wants to bring you to a place where you turn into a prince or a princess. But in God, there's no male or female. So God wants to turn you into that which is the best there is. And so in one sense, the story of Joseph is a little bit like you and I going through a process. Well, we find that in verse 2 that Joseph is about 17 years old. And he's out with his brothers. They were looking after the sheep. And while he was out there, they were doing a few things that weren't quite right. And so what happened was, he went to his dad and he told his dad. He was a bit of a, "Dad, do you know what our so-and-so's done?" You know, always telling the tale a little bit. You know, he was a daddy's boy. And he was like, "Yeah." And so he would get his other brothers into trouble. Well, you know what that does in families. You just wait. I'll get you later. Okay? You know? It starts that little feud going on. Yeah. You spragged on me. You just wait. I'll deal with you later. When Dad's not looking, you know? When Dad's not around, we'll deal with you. You don't do that, do you? Uh-oh. There you go. You never did that, did you? No. My sister used to say, "I'm telling me dad. I'm telling me mum. What you've said, what you've done to me." So I used to get into trouble. And she could tell him anything she wanted. And it needn't be true. But then I'd get into trouble for something I'd not done, not said, not even been there. She She was the youngest. Well, she still is the youngest. I don't know why I'm saying that, you know. She still is the youngest. And you know what it's like, the youngest, they can't do anything wrong, can they? You know. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? And so, his father loved him so much that he gave him this wonderful coat and he wore it with pride. And it says in verse 4, his brothers actually hated him for this. He turned them into a vengeful set of brothers. And then as we move on and we quickly move on into verse 7, it says that Joseph had had a couple of dreams. You know, he's 17-year-old, they called him the dreamer. He was having these dreams. And one of the dreams he had was that they were in the field. Does this work, this clicker? Yeah, they were in the field. And they were binding the sheaves of corn together. All the family was doing it. And he says, in the dream, my sheaf of corn stood upright. He says, and all of yours bowed down. They all bowed down to me. He then goes on to say, he has another dream. Well, you've got it, have you? Has another dream. And in this other dream, he says, he sees the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they're all bowing down and worshipping him. And so they say to him, so do you think that you're going to rule over us? You know, just because you've got a bright coloured coat and you think you're something special, do you think you're going to rule over us? Joseph did not know, and neither did the brothers, and neither did the father or the mothers know what those dreams meant at that time. But they had significant meaning for their lives as a whole family. God was beginning to tell the story of what he was going to do for Jacob to protect him and his family from what was going to happen in the future. Wow. But you see, sometimes we don't see what's going to happen. We don't understand what's happening in the future. You know, we sang that song, but this I know. I know who holds the future. We don't hold the future. Sometimes mankind seems to think that we choose our destiny, we hold our future, we will show you what is going to happen. Today, America does not know what is going to happen in the next few days. They have two people to choose from to be president. You might as well toss a coin. But the thing is, they need to pray that God will bring the right person to bring that nation to the place where it comes back to God. And it's all with our nation. We need to pray that our nation comes back to God. So we find these dreams, and nobody seems to know what these dreams really mean. And his brothers really, there's a gang of 11 of them. They're a bit of a mean bunch. I mean, if you read a few chapters earlier, what they did to a family, they were quite bloodthirsty. They were very bitter and twisted at times. They held grudges. They were a set of liars at times. You know what I mean? Does that, you know, sound like some people we know? Or does it even sound like us that now and again we've been a bit like that, you know, held a grudge, been a bit mean, you know, maybe not killed anybody, but you know. Felt like it at times, you know. Hatred can be so much in our lives. And so these brothers were a little bit of a mean bunch together. You didn't cross them, really. And Joseph couldn't see it. He's the youngest. He's stupid enough to think everything's fine. You know, he just thinks life's just going by, floating by. His dad gives him everything he needs and he wants. And it's like, this is great. I've got my coats, you know. Everybody can see me. I look great and cool. I'm a dude that's cool. And then one day they're out keeping their sheep somewhere. And his father says to Joseph, go find your brothers. He said, your brothers are, in verse 13, he says, your brothers are somewhere out in a place called Shechem. He says, go and find them. So off he goes in his bright, smart coat, you know. Off he trips. He never took this coat off, I could think. You know, he's always on like, this is mine, you know. Everybody knows who I am because of my coat. I'm Jacob's best son, you know. I'm the pick of the bunch. You know? He thinks I'm the best. You know? You can see this spoilt brat mentality that's coming out of him. So off he goes looking for his brothers. He arrives at Shechem and finds out they're not there. They've gone. So he meets somebody and says, oh yeah, I saw your brothers. They've gone on to a place called Dothan. Oh, okay. So off he goes. Now, he's taking some food and some things for his brothers to keep them going. And you can imagine that as Joseph is walking along looking for his brothers, you know, and there he is with his bright cloak swinging along, you know. And then all of a sudden his brothers look and say, I know who that is. I know who that is that's coming. It's that dreamer. You can tell by his coat. You can see him coming from miles away. He's got a swagger with it, you know. Thinks he's wonderful. There he is with his coat, swaggering along, thinking, you know, I'm better than anybody else because my dad says so. This spoilt brat. And off he goes, and finally they see him, as I said, they see him coming towards them. And they say, here comes that dreamer. And so they start hatching a plan. They say, we've had enough of him. They're even planning to kill him. Your own flesh and blood. And they're planning to kill you. Seems strange. That's what jealousy can do. Jealousy can bring you to a place where you want to be a murderer. Jealousy can bring you to a place where you actually can become a murderer. And then we wonder why the Bible tells us not to be jealous, not to be envious. Because it can take you on a journey that you never intended to go. It can take you on a pathway that you never intended to travel. But suddenly, you find yourself on a journey of destruction. And jealousy has taken you down that pathway. Hatred takes you down that pathway. These are not the fruit of the Spirit. These are the fruits of a sinful life, of a godless life. And so as he travels towards them, the elder brother, in verse 21, Reuben says this. No, he says, let's not kill him. He says, let's not take his life. He said, let's put him in a pit. That's a good idea. So they grabbed him when he arrived and they tossed him in a pit. Took his fine coat off him and said, we'll use this. They tore his coat. They killed an animal. They put blood of the animal over it and said, we'll take it back to my dad and we'll tell him he must have got eaten by a wild animal. And we'll leave him in that pit to die. Well, Reuben had decided that he was actually going to go and get him out later. Well, whilst Reuben was doing something else, suddenly a caravan of merchants came by from Midian. And these traders came by and they thought, hey, we can make money out of this kid, out of our brother. We're going to sell you. Ooh. They got 20 pieces of silver for him. Hey, not a bad deal, that, you know. And so they sold him off to these Midianites. They went home and took the coat and told their father, look what has happened to your brother, to our brother. It looks like he's been killed on his journey towards us by a wild animal. We found this on the road. And father wept and tore his clothes. He was besotted and he was distraught by everything. Wanted to die, basically. So brokenhearted. He weeps for his son that he'd lost. And then we find that as we journey along, the Midianites decide, well, let's sell him to the Egyptians. Now, the Egyptians were the greatest nation at that time in the lands. They were the most powerful. They had the greatest army. They were a mighty nation. And so they sold him to the Egyptians. And then in a few weeks, when he arrived into the capital of Egypt, he was sold again. And he was sold onto a man called Potiphar, who actually looked at, he was the captain of the Pharaoh's inner guards in the palace. But you know, Joseph really deep down wasn't a bad kid. There was something good that was in there. And most kids are good. But they need God in their life to bring out that goodness. Turning the spoilt brat into a prince. And God intends to turn every spoilt brat into a prince. Hallelujah. That's his plan. And so Joseph, in a short period of time, he's put in charge of Potiphar's house. And he's now in charge of everything that goes on in the house. Yeah, well, that was the journey he took, actually. Oh, my point is here, isn't it? I can use this, can't I? You see? He travelled travelled all up to there, then they sold him, and he travelled all the way back. So he travelled over 200 miles. Walked it, probably, most of the way. 200 miles. Anybody want to volunteer to walk 200 miles? Nope, no volunteers. Oh dear. I did
I did 5 miles the other day.
I knew I'd done it the next day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I did it.
Mind you, I was carrying some things as well at the same time. But I knew I'd, you know, got a pack on my back and
got to keep fit. Got to keep up with these young people. Glory to God.
And so he arrives in Egypt and he's sold into Potiphar's house, and then he's in charge. Suddenly Potiphar says, look, you're a good kid. You know, take charge of my house. Look after everything. Keep the running of the house smooth. I don't need to look at it. He was so trustworthy, was this young man. Deep down, he was an honourable young man. A bit gullible. Said some stupid things at the wrong time, at the wrong place, but hey, that was it, you know. But deep down, his heart was pure. And so he was in charge. And Potiphar was busy looking after the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He's spending all his time there. And Potiphar's wife was feeling a bit neglected. And she looked at Joseph one day and she thought, he's good looking. He's a nice young man. Now he's probably 17, 18 years old. He's a nice lad. I like him. So she starts making advances to him. And Joseph said, no, everything in the house I can look after and rule over. But he says, you belong to Potiphar. He says, no, it's all right. Come on, come into my bedroom. He says, no, no. And he keeps avoiding her. And finally one day he walks into the house and all the servants are missing. And she sees him and she grabs hold of his coat. And says, come to my bedroom, come quick. And he panics and he runs. He flees from her. And in his dashing out of the place, she's holding his cloak in her hand. And she thinks, what am I going to do now? Because if he tells my husband what's just happened, I'm in trouble. So she takes the offensive and she screams out, rape! 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 Everybody comes rushing in and she says, look, Joseph has tried to rape me. Well, you know what happens then? He then gets thrown into prison. Again, he's done nothing wrong. Do you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And we say, why me? What did I do wrong? Why has it happened to me? There is a plan. God has a purpose. God will cause everything that happens to us to end up with a good result. God has a plan. Oh, God's in charge. He knows. We know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He holds the future for you and for me. And if we will submit to Him and allow God to work in our lives, we will reach our destiny. We will reach a great future in God. We will have a great time. We will enjoy the life that God has planned for us. But you know, for Joseph, suddenly he's thrown in prison. Whew. Why me? What did I do wrong? I did everything right. I did nothing wrong. And yet, no matter where I go,
no matter what I do, something bad happens to me. But no, he didn't get bitter about it, because you see that he suddenly is in prison. And the jailer sees such an attitude, a good attitude in this young man, and thinks, I'll put him in charge of the jail. So he puts him in charge of the prisoners. So now the jailer's sat with his feet up. You know, thinks, hey, this is good. Got a good kid here, he works hard, he's honest. I mean, how can you have an honest prisoner? You know what I mean? It seems a bit of a sort of a joke in one sense. But he's honest, he's good, you know. Put him in charge of everything, giving out the food and the water and that. I'll even let him have the keys. He's in charge. And the jailer sits back and says, oh, I've got a great cushy life now. Got this great kid staying in the prison. And then suddenly, he meets up with two guys from the king's household. The baker. The king's cupbearer. And one night, they both have a dream. The cupbearer says, I had a dream last night. Oh, scared me. Really don't know what it means. So Joseph says, what did you dream? He told him his dream. He saw that this vine came up and there were three branches. I don't know if we got that one. There they are, they're chatting and they're downcast. And he says, there were three branches. He said, and I stuck these branches and I had a cup in my hand and I squeezed these grapes into the cup. But I don't understand what it means. And Joseph said to him, he said, in 3 days, you're out of here. And you will give the king his cup again. You will be redeemed. You will be set free. You will be saved from this prison. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. 3 days he was in the tomb and he rose on the third day and set us free. Amen. Come on. So the baker thought, wow, that's a great interpretation, that is. He said, I had a dream. He said, can you tell me the interpretation of my dream? He thought, that meant for a good one as well, hopefully. He said, I had 3 baskets on my head full of bread. He said, and then suddenly the birds came and started stealing the bread. So Joseph says, yeah, I know what that means. So, tell me. He says, 3 days. He says, and then the king's going to take your head and he's going to hang you. Ooh, that's not a good dream. And 3 days later, the king's cupbearer is restored back to his original job. The baker is hung. And Joseph said to the cupbearer, remember me. Remember me. Tell Pharaoh. Tell him about me. Tell him I've been wrongly accused. Well, the cupbearer got his job back and all he could focus on was his job. You know, some people, they find Jesus. They find salvation. They find the love of God in their lives and he sets them free. And then the next thing is, I'm free. And they walk out of church. And they never come back again. They're gone. Why? I don't understand that. When God sets you free, surely it's good to come and give Him thanks and to worship Him and keep that freedom in your life. Well, it turns out that some month later, the king has two dreams. Pharaoh has two dreams. And he shares his dreams with the magicians and the soothsayers and the people that do magic. And they're all stood there going, "What do you think?" "I've no idea." "Well, what do you think?" "I'm not sure. I really don't know what to tell the king. This has got me totally confused. Oh, I daren't say anything that might upset him because he might have my head off as well. So I'm struggling with this one." And so they hadn't got a clue. They didn't know what to say. And suddenly, the cupbearer says, "I know a man. I know a young lad. I had a dream one time, and he gave me the interpretation, and it was absolutely right." So he said, "Okay, bring him in." So we went and got Joseph all washed and put him some clean clothes on and made him look real smart. Brought him into Pharaoh. There you go. Brought him into Pharaoh. And he said, "King, tell me your dreams." So the king tells him his dreams. He says, "I saw seven fat cows." He says, "There they were, eating away. And then all of a sudden," he says, "I saw seven thin cows come up. And those seven thin cows ate up the seven fat cows. And the thin cows were still thin." "I don't understand that. You'd have thought they'd have got fat." He says, "But they were thin." He said, "And then I saw seven ears of corn. Big, bustling, with corn brewed, really full of life." He said, "And then I saw seven thin corns, heads of corn, and they just devoured the thin ones." He said, "But I don't understand, and nobody can tell me what it means." He said, "I understand." He said, "God has warned you that there are going to be 7 years of blessings, of abundance, and then there are going to be 7 years of famine." Wow. And so Joseph says to him, "You need to find a man. A man who can organize the nation, build food stocks, etc., so that you can prepare and feed the people." And in chapter 41, we move on to there. Move right through there, and we find that Joseph is probably now somewhere in the region of 29, and suddenly he's been made the second ruler of the most powerful nation in the world. From a spoilt brat to a prince of Egypt. Now, who would say that the journey through prison, the journey through a pit, the selling of him to slave traders was the right road to take one from being a brat to a prince? We would say that is not the way to become a prince. You need to go to finishing school, you need to do this, this, and this. We would pick a different road. But God took him on a journey. And on a journey that brought him to that place where he became the prince of Egypt. And the story goes on, and that some 7 years later or so, nine years later, that his brothers come looking for food in Egypt. And all of a sudden, just a minute, I think, has the fan blower gone off again? Bear with me a minute. Is that blowing? Is it blowing? Has it gone off again? Yeah, they put them back on. You've got to keep charging. The heating system's acting up today. Don't know why. Anyway, we'll carry on preaching. Got to keep warm. If you want to stand up, move around, you can move around, you know, it just keeps you warm. Hallelujah. I'm warm enough up here, you see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, grace is warm. That's a change. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Joseph, his brothers arrived on the scene wanting bread, wanting corn to take back to their father. And when they came in, there they were. All bowing down to him. All bowing down. Remember the first dream he had? Sheaves of corn. They're all bowing down to him. How God knows what's going to happen. Now we're talking that, you know, this is some 20 odd years later. Yeah, 21 years later. And his brothers are bowing down. So often we think, I want it now. And if not now, I want it before now. But I can't wait. 21 years later. And there they are. They're bowing down before him. They don't recognize him. 21 years have passed. He's become a man. He's become a different person. He has great power and authority. And these are people now, these brothers are now his servants. They're begging for food. When God chooses to bring you to a point of election, it will happen. God's plans and purpose from a spoilt brat to a prince in God's time and plan. And so Joseph then, I'm not going to go through the whole story, you can read the story, but it turns out then that he asks about his father. He doesn't reveal himself straight away. He keeps them guessing. He even plays tricks on them. And then finally he asks about his own father. And he reveals himself to them. And he says, go home. Bring my father and all the family to Egypt so that you will live, because there is another 5 years of famine yet left in the land. This happened when he was 38 years old. But God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. The thing that you and I need to do is to keep focused on God, keep the Word of God in our lives, and allow God to work through us and to bring us to our appointed time, to our appointed destination, to our appointed place in God. And all will be well. All will be well. The journey sometimes will be difficult. The pathway that we walk may be difficult. You read the story of Pilgrim's Progress. It was not an easy journey. There were some detours, there were some issues that went on. But what was God doing? God is dealing with our lives. See, God looks at you and I and says, I'm dealing with each and every one of you as individuals. And he's working. We were talking on Friday night how God's dealing with imperfections in us, taking them out so that we don't self-destruct. Our imperfections will cause us to self-destruct. And God is saying, I'm perfecting you. I'm bringing you to yourself. I'm bringing you to a wholeness. And you know, the plan that God had for Joseph was to save the nations of the world. And yet he had to go through prison cells. He had to go through difficult times. And yet his final destination was that he would be the one who would save the nations of the world at that time. What an appointment. What a destiny. Who could believe that could happen? But God did it. Wonderful. I just want to encourage you. If at times you want to feel like you want to be a spoilt brat, just remember, God's turning you into a prince and a princess for His praise and for His glory. Remember that God has dreams and plans for you to bring you to an appointed time, an appointed place, that you will be God's answer for men and women, and you will change the destiny of the lives of men and women. And I say that for each and every one of us. God has an appointment, has a destiny, has dreams for each and every one of us that He wants to fulfill in our lives. And how are we prepared to walk the road that He says, I'm going to take you? Because if we don't walk the walk, if we don't walk the road, then we will not fulfill the destiny that God has for us in the future. And sometimes the road is not easy. Sometimes the road is difficult. But walk it. There is no shortcut to victory. You have to walk it out. Because in that walking out of the difficulties and the trials and the challenges, God is perfecting you and me as we journey the journey. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. So continue to walk the journey. And as you walk the journey, you will arrive at that appointed time and destination and purpose that God has for you. And in our obedience, as we walk it out, we shall receive a great reward. It is not about exactly what we do down here, but it is about our eternal reward in Christ Jesus. But I would encourage you, walk out the walk. Walk the journey. Even when it's tough, even when it's difficult, even when there's nobody wants to walk it with you, walk it. Amen. Joseph walked this journey many times on his own. Nobody was with him. He was left all alone. But God never left him. Walk the journey. Travel the pathway. And know that in this, that God is bringing you from a spoilt brat into a prince. Amen. Hallelujah. He's changing you from a heap of rubbish into something glorious. Yeah? He's changing you from a mucky, scruffy, earthen vessel into a precious china clay, china pot that is precious and powerful. This may be studded in diamonds and covered in gold. You see, He's refining us. But He's taking that which appears to be ugly and He's making it beautiful for His glory, and His purposes and plans will come through your life. Submit to the plans. Allow God to change you from a brat to a prince. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a brat. I'm on a destination to be a prince or a princess in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who's on the journey? No more brats. Amen. No more brats. Hallelujah. Princes in the making. Princesses in the making. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you. And be encouraged. God has a plan for you. And don't quit on it just because it doesn't seem like it's working. Keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Bless you.